What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. The Thursday edition of the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Welcome to the show. What's going on? Good one for you today. Let me get you started by telling you I've got my three interviews, and today we have set them up. One in hour number one, one in hour number two, one in hour number three. It's quite equitable. We're going to spread this thing out. It gives you a great chance to get through. Smack Off 26 is in 36 days. I have another player profile a little bit later on. So let's get at it. 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing. Get in. I've got a couple of open segments. I would even break format for the right phone call. The right phone call can set up the entire program, so I'd break format for it. If it's the right call, you go right to the front. You get right on the air. If not, and you want to follow me on Twitter, hit me up at Jim Rome. And as you know, you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. All right, the interviews look like this. Coming up at 40 past, hour number one, a CBS Sports NFL and college football analyst, Jay Feely. Looking forward to running down Jay. He's always great to talk to. I've got Buddy Block, the manager of the Colorado Rockies, in hour number two. In the third hour, an offensive lineman for the Arizona Cardinals, Josh Jones. You have your phone number. Go ahead and use it. We had more live sports last night. The UFC ran it back again in Jacksonville. So we had UFC Fight Night and the main event last night, Glover Teixeira and Anthony Smith. Let me start right there. That was something to see. You had a couple of guys who did their job, and then you had a few other guys who did not do their job. Glover sure as hell did his job. That was a monster performance. So before I get into the biggest issue of the fight, I want to make sure that Teixeira gets his due because he earned it. This dude is 40 years old. It was not that long ago that he lost three of five fights. It looked like he was coming to the end of a good career. Retirement, though, was a very real possibility. He has won four straight, and now you could have a conversation about whether or not he might get a look at the belt before he's done. This guy looked amazing last night and was in trouble early on, but looked amazing. And he went all Rocky Balboa with it after the fight, saying, quote, "It's not how hard you get hit. It's how hard you get hit and keep coming back."
It's not how hard you hit. It's how hard you get hit and keep coming forward. That's all about, baby.
This is such a good dude. That's what it's all about, baby. So he has looked tremendous of late. Possibly never better than of late. And he's 40. Similarly, it was 14 months ago that Anthony Smith was fighting John Jones for the lightweight belt. Smith is no tomato can. You know, maybe a late bloomer, but a very effective fighter, a dangerous fighter. And in the first round, Smith was giving Teixeira a lot of trouble. He looked great. He was popping his jab effectively, setting up his right, mixing in his kicks, generally having his way. It looked like it was going to be a long night for the older Teixeira. It looked like he was not going to be able to match Smith's athleticism, his length, his speed, his youth, his energy. And Smith came in with a focus and an intensity before that fight that I had never seen from him prior to getting into the cage. It looked like it was going to be a big night for him as he was landing the more significant blows in the first two rounds. But then in the third, things started to change.
You heard him.
You got to defend yourself if you're Smith. It was ruled a punch.
Yep. It looked like a punch.
Oh.
It looked like a punch by the shot.
Oh my goodness.
Face first.
A nasty, nasty 20 seconds from Teixeira. A brutal 20 seconds for Smith. And at that point, you might argue that a stoppage was possible. Now, you might also argue that if you stop that fight right then and there, it's premature. What you cannot argue, though, is that stopping the fight then would have prevented Smith from ultimately taking the worst beating ever. What you can't argue is that after that exchange, Smith was not going to win that fight. The phrase rearranging someone's face is not supposed to be a literal description of a guy's face. It's a figure of speech. Except in this case, Teixeira really was reconfiguring Smith's face. He was reconfiguring his head. Here's a quick recap of the damage. Smith told Ariel Helwani after the fight he suffered a broken nose, he suffered a broken orbital bone, and he lost a couple of teeth. And you know it's a brutal fight when you hear that list and your first reaction is that it? Is that all? Because it sure felt worse than that. Watching it, it looked worse than that. I mean, Teixeira beat the crap out of this guy. And that was as dominant and comprehensive a beating as you're ever going to see. If you were watching it last night, you may have seen Teixeira talking to Smith at one point during the fight. You might have wondered, what exactly is this guy saying to him as he's beating the hell out of him? But because there was no crowd, Mike's actually picked up the conversation. Try to make out what these two guys were saying to each other. Let me transcribe that for you. Teixeira said, "Sorry, Anthony, it's part of the job." Smith's response was, "What?" Teixeira said, "Sorry, part of the job." To which Smith said, "Yeah, it is what it is, bub."
Teixeira saying he's giving up Glover.
Thought he had to part of the job.
What?
Thought he had to part of the job.
Yeah, it is what it is, bud.
I mean, that was so dominant that Teixeira was actually apologizing to Smith at one point. Like, "Hey, man, I'm sorry I'm beating the crap out of you. I really don't want to have to do this, but it's a job, you know?" And Smith is just rolling with it. That's the only time, quote, "it is what it is actually a good answer, because that was what it was, a brutal ass-kicking that actually was part of the job. And Teixeira is such a classy pro that while administering it and knowing the damage he was doing, he was actually apologizing to the dude that he was administering that beating to.
It is what it is, buddy.
And Smith, warrior that he is, was saying it is what it is, man.
It is what it is, buddy.
It is what it is, but more to the point, it was a beating that should have never gone on as long as it did. Again, the fight could have been stopped in the third. Frankly, I'm still not sure how Smith even made it out of that round. It definitely should have been stopped in the fourth, during the fourth, or after the fourth, and there's no way that Smith should have been permitted to come out to take even more punishment in the fifth, because it was clear long before then that he could no longer defend himself and he could no longer hurt Teixeira. And don't get it twisted, nothing but immense respect for Smith and his toughness and his courage. He was never going to stop. He was never going to quit. But it should have never reached the fifth round, let alone another minute four, before it was stopped. Even Dana White was saying afterwards it was hard to watch.
"You know, us sitting on the outside, it was a little tough to watch. Cormier was flipping out.
That's Dana White and Daniel Cormier we're talking about. If Dana White said it was hard to watch, we're talking about a pretty brutal beating. If Daniel Cormier is flipping out, we're talking about something really bad happening. And they're right. And I'll get to this later on, but exactly where the hell was Smith's corner when their guy was getting beaten to a pulp? What were they watching? Because I'll tell you what I was watching. I was watching Teixeira punch Smith's ear right off his head. Seriously, that's not even an exaggeration or an exaggeration for effect. That was a legitimate concern for me. I thought there was a chance we were going to see Teixeira give Smith a Vincent Van Gogh. Like, dude, where is the rest of his ear? But forget about the ear for a minute. Let's talk about the teeth. Because there were two moments involving teeth that were pretty insane. There was that moment in the fourth round where Smith was on the ground with Teixeira on top of him, and Smith is reaching out for the ref. If you were watching, something seemed a little bit off. Teixeira is choking Smith, and Smith keeps reaching for the ref, but not like he's going to tap. So what's he doing? Then the ref seems to take something from him and put it in his pocket. And it turns out it was, wait for it, a tooth. He gave the ref one of his teeth. Like, yo, can you hold this for me? Just for a couple of minutes. I'll need it back later, but I've got my hands full right now, and I don't want to lose it. I mean, did that really happen? It did, because afterwards, Smith said that he found his tooth on the canvas, and he gave it to the ref. Dana White saw that whole thing transpire, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing.
At one point, you know, I got monitors in front of me, and I said to my guys, I go, you know, Teixeira's punching him in the face, and he reaches out and handed something to the ref, and the ref put it in his pocket. I was like, what the f***? Did he just gave something to the ref, and the ref put it in his pocket. What could he possibly, he was picking up his teeth and giving his teeth to the referee, and the referee was putting them in his pocket. It's crazy. When he went back to his corner, all he kept telling his corner is, my teeth are falling out. So I didn't think he was coming out for the fifth.
That's an unbelievable soundbite from Dana. An unbelievable soundbite. I mean, not exactly somebody losing a finger and then having a medic put it on ice in the event that they can reattach it at a later time. But I've never seen a fighter lose a tooth and then hand it to the ref, and the ref puts it in his pocket like, yo, I got you. I got you, big dog. I wonder if the ref circled back after the fight and said, Anthony, sorry about that busted beak and that broken orbital bone, but I do have your second premolar here for you, champ. And if that were the only mention of a tooth or teeth in that fight, I'd be fine. But of course it wasn't. Dana got into the other part. Like, I don't know. Maybe Glover thought that Smith's wisdom teeth were impacted and he was just going to extract them free of charge. I don't know. But as courageous as Smith was, and there is no disputing that, this dude was Lionheart. As courageous as he was, things were about to get even worse. Much worse. Which I'll get into in a few minutes. I mean, I got to hear that soundbite one more time, Alvin. Dana White saying, I'm watching, and I'm talking to my guys, and I'm looking on the monitor, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? He's trying to give the ref something, and the ref put it in his pocket? What? Push play.
You know, Teixeira's punching him in the face, and he reaches out and handed something to the ref, and the ref put it in his pocket. I was like, what the f***? Did he just gave something to the ref, and the ref put it in his pocket. What could he possibly, he was picking up his teeth and giving his teeth to the referee, and the referee was putting them in his pocket. It's crazy.
Live sports is back. UFC running back in Jacksonville.
It is what it is, buddy.
Hey, listen, this is not for everybody. Even Dana White said that was hard to watch. I tweeted as much last night between the fourth and fifth rounds, like, the guy just said, my teeth. I'm losing my teeth. That, I'll get into this later on, but that very clearly was a sign to his corner. Man, I've had enough. It's not my night. I'm losing teeth. But they sent him back out there, and it got worse. The second part of that take's coming up. Did you watch that last night? What are your thoughts? 1-800-636-8686. So, of course, the fighter wants to go out on a sword, on his shield. I want to get into whether or not the corner did its job. Spoiler alert, it did not. Also, coming up later on, you've been taking in The Last Dance, right? A lot of you have been watching that and find it riveting, and I've been kind of supplementing that with the podcast. I had BJ Armstrong on, I had Stacey King on, and then this week's episode 129 of the Jim Rohn podcast is with big man Bill Wennington. Bill Wennington was great. He was part of the second three-peat. Man, such a good dude. And such a great guy to have a conversation with. That was part of episode 129. I'll give you a taste of that. Smackoff 26 is coming up in 36 days. I have another player profile. Again, invite only. You have to be in it to win it. If you win it, you get $5,000 and the crown of King of Smack. Most of all, you make history. It's a legacy play. And never forget, people have won that event and parlayed that into their own shows, parlayed that into their own careers. You never know. Like, in effect, I am the idol maker. Don't believe me? Ask JT the Brick. Don't believe me? Ask Shawnee the Cabin Asian. Hell, both those guys have had almost better careers than me. In fact, I could argue they have. The Brick, the Cabin Asian, they've got tremendous game. They've come up big. The Cabin Asian is still in the game. He's going up against the BIC and more. And is this the year somebody breaks through and gets it? As I go to break, some quick reaction. Dear Jim, we have been adversely impacted and unnerved by the lockdown. So we wanted to sedate ourselves with a nightcap and root for the combatants in UFC Fight Night's main event. However, before the winner was crowned, we had a serious falling out. Sin-spittingly Anthony Smith's Chicklets signed Dental Lesk's Self Flosser wore Jewel, pulling out her second row of teeth during concerts and tossing them in place of guitar picks to her adoring fans. Good job, Dental Lesks. You wonder what's really ironic? Our older son, Jake, getting his wisdom teeth yanked right now. He's heard all the stories about his old man getting his pulled. So the kid was tripping a little bit. I'm like, you're fine, Junior. Unlike your old man, you didn't wait until you were 40. Man, Jewel's never sounded so good. I wonder if Jewel pulls all her fangs, her teeth out, and strings them up in a necklace for her fans, like Connor, saying that he'll do. A Table Slam fan tweets, I'm amazed that Callan Vegas hasn't defended himself by picking up the phone and dialing 1-800-636-5656. And they're still calling Cal short. Also, Blake Snell has responded to baseball's offer of a 50-50 revenue split. Blake's not very happy about that. All of that is still ahead. How about a phone call? How about a good phone call? How about somebody rips a golden ticket today and gets into the big show? I've got a golden ticket. And if somebody's not going to win a golden ticket, how about I rip one back from somebody? Go ahead, Sarah, give me a call. Do something dumb, Sarah. Somebody. All right, we're coming right back. Phone lines are open. When your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Do not take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or your truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Or, when you need auto parts quickly, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, welcome back. I've got Jay Feely coming up at 40 past, which means I've got an open segment for you right now. And a call screen that's loading up. Must be smack off season. It is. Get in. Qualify. Biggest show of the year. Not only here, but pretty much in the genre. And a $5,000 first place prize to the winner.
The smack off.
That is not Alvin's promo. That's so weak, Alvin. You bring that up like, oh, there it is. We're dropping the annual promo. It's just big announcer guy with the smack off.
The smack off.
I could have done that. The smack off. June 19th, invite only. 1-800-636-8686. This guy is a watch lister, which means he's probably one good phone call away from getting into the field. Let's see if this is the call that puts him over the top. We go to the D, Johnny Scabs in Detroit. Johnny, what's up?
Jimmy, I'm glad Matt and Van had the chance to come in and read the same call for the third time yesterday. Matt recycles his material more than Sarah T changes her sheets on a profitable weekend. I really enjoyed that call from Danielle in Denver. How about that voice? Dan's voice is so girly, it sounds like it should be free for the first 3 minutes and $1.99 every minute after. Congrats to Matt in L.A. on his golden ticket call. I really think Matt has a shot this year. You know, Rome, if you take away the looks, the money, the intelligence, and success, it's really an even playing field for Matt. Late.
Johnny, you're still on the watch list. Smack Off is for the best of the best. How am I going to put that call in and try and position that as the best of the best? What's that say about me? What's that say about the show? What's that say about the Smack Off? Still not good enough. Keep calling. Keep trying. Good news is you're still on the watch list. You still have a shot.
Keep calling, weaklings.
I'm always curious as to how those who are in the field or near the field are going to approach the last few weeks. Again, I have more invites than I do slots. Being invited does not guarantee you get on the air. You need to find a way to get me to take your phone call. It's incumbent upon you to make me want to take your phone call that day. So ask yourself, what are you going to do? How are you going to get me to want to take your phone call? Not by not showing up in the weeks prior. You need to build some momentum. You got to get some buzz. You have to get some heat. You have to be somebody who I'm going to ask myself, because, you know, the truth is every single year I wonder, how's it going to play out? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be as good as the year before? Is it going to be as good as we're accustomed to hearing it? I need to find the best callers so I look good, so the brand looks good, so the Smack Off wins again. In other words, build your resume so when I see that call the day of, I'm going to think to myself, this is going to set us off. It's going to make it better. I got to get that person on the air. And if you're laying out and you're hoarding material and you're saving your best for that day, maybe nobody hears it. Keep that in mind. 1-800-636-8686. Canada has been coming of late. Let's go to Toronto. Chris in Toronto. Good to have you, Chris. How are you?
Yo, what up, Jim? Hey, I went back and listened to that call from Alan yesterday, and he definitely said, yeah, I don't know what the heck he said. Listen, anyway, from Vancouver to Ottawa, you're welcome. From the 6 all the way over to the shiny up-and-coming dome of Rick and Buffalo, you're welcome as well. Listen, it's your boy Chris and the T-Dot and Matt in L.A. I know you heard what I just said, and you're rushing now to put down the plunger and pick up a line and come at me. And Jim, I'm a little conflicted on this one. On one hand, please don't call. Jim, I know you love a good haiku. So, Matt, here's how we feel when Jim announces that you're on hold. Looking at the phones, let's go to Matt in L.A. No! No! Dear God, no! That's 575 clones. But then on the other hand, on behalf of all the clones, please do call Matt, because there's nothing better than hearing the sound of a choppa. That is, unless Left is in it. Yo, Stalker, I know that those ears of yours heard Jim's mandate of no studio storming, and that also includes hopping back in the choppa to gimmick your way towards another title. Hey, Jim, nice rundown of Left yesterday with the caveat that he's not a gimmicky little bitch, and then playing his calls, which were full of gimmicks. You can't make this stuff up. We had a few minutes of gimmicks in the other parts of when he should have gotten run, so how is that not correct? What's next? Are you going to convince us that Silk isn't a narc or that Vic wasn't a one-call wonder? By the way, Alvy, when you get ready to do Vic's montage, make sure you always pull the calls from the day before the actual smack-off, since for whatever reason, that's when he does his best stuff. Jim, I called in the other day and I told you, I know it's smack-off season and folks are going to be coming for Canada. And wouldn't you know it? Dan and Denver called in and attacked my boy Matt and Van. Now listen, I know Matt can fight his own battles, but I went back to Stucknut to listen. And did someone who himself got run 1 year and then the next year come in eighth place, finishing above DA, who is probably still talking, and Mr. Wooden and Laconic himself, Jason Stewart, did that guy make fun of someone else's call? Bro, I went back and listened to your call, and I think Rome put you in eighth because he thought it was still Jay Stu talking. Rex in Albuquerque thinks you need to learn voice inflections. By the way, it's a good thing you like rap so much, since LT is the one you'll be hearing on Smack Off Day. Lastly, Jim, Tuesday marked the one-year anniversary when Kawhi touched every part of that rim. Mark and Hollywood, just mute me for a second, bro, and then come back because this isn't going to feel too good. But that kept us moving forward toward that eventual chip. And guess which city is still the beautiful city of NBA champions? That's right, haters. And I know some of you guys hate to hear it, but America's hat still owns your fat, balding asses. So pipe down there. And to the JTP, I know I kind of upset some of you guys with my last call. So, Jim, I'd really like to take this time out to apologize to absolutely nobody. If you don't like it, if you don't like what I'm saying, turn down your station. But to everyone else and to my Canadian brethren, let's keep doing this. Bella B, you own the ATP, and soon we'll be running this whole thing. The hate is loud. The love is louder. Let's do this together. War Team Canada, War Canadian Domination.
How about this? We now have ourselves, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, have we ever had a Toronto entrant in the Smack-Off? I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Hey, Nut, look that up. I'd ask James Kelly too, but Stucknut's got even deeper resources. I don't know if we have or we haven't, but we do have somebody now. Give him a golden ticket. So now you've got Matt in Vancouver, and you have Chris in Toronto. We have two Canadians representing. Tyler is kind of on the bubble. Tyler may need to play his way back in. Matt is a lock. Chris in Toronto has a golden ticket. So Chris can lose that golden ticket between now and then. But I'm here to tell you, some Canadian representation is a good thing. I've said this since day one. When we came on the air in Canada years and years and years ago, and we added several affiliates, the reaction was, man, it will never work there. Nobody gives a damn there about what Rome has to say. None of the Canadians are going to listen. They're not going to call. This show has been so much better with Canadian representation, going all the way back to the Canadian star linebacker back in the day. Matt makes the show better. Go ahead, Albie. The Canadian star linebacker. Yeah, don't do it. We don't play it anymore. Either way, if I'm not mistaken, I think that may have only been his second call. He knows the show cold, but I think that was his second call, and that's all it took. Two strong calls, and now he's in the field. I mean, what if this guy comes out of nowhere and he rips it?
Oh, Canada, out.
Looking at our records, Tim in Toronto back in 02. I'm not going to lie. Whoever the hell that is. So you're not the first, but you are in. I'm telling you, this is how this thing plays out. This guy could shock the world out of nowhere to get the ticket, to get in the field, to get on the air. Maybe he goes off 30-1 and shocks the entire world. I've seen stranger things. Narc Bra won it once. You never know. All right. I like it. There is a golden ticket, and not only a golden ticket, but to Canada. Not only to Canada, but Toronto. Come and get yours. When we come back, Jay Feely joins us. Bud Black, next hour. I love it. The only thing better than giving away a golden ticket would be giving away a golden ticket and ripping one back. Let's see how it goes. Here is a bottom-of-the-hour sports update. Here is...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, big day already. Once again, we've given away a golden ticket, and not just a golden ticket, but to Toronto. Smack-Off 26 is in 36 days. Coming up next hour, the manager of the Colorado Rockies, Bud Black. Coming up in hour number three, Josh Jones, an offensive lineman with the Arizona Cardinals. But as promised, right now, a 14-year NFL vet, a national champion at Michigan, college and NFL analyst for CBS Sports. He was named Arizona Republic's Girls Soccer Coach of the Year. He is hosting Chat Tough Live. Tougher Together event this Sunday, May 17th, from 7 until 9 p.m. Eastern. We will get into that. Jay Feely is my guest. First off, Jay, how are you and your family doing right now in the middle of this pandemic, Jay?
What's up there, Rome? We're doing all right. You know, Arizona has been it's been reserved out there. It hasn't been like New York, certainly, and it's been open. My son and I have delivered a bunch of meals. We started collecting money and going to stores, going to restaurants that were hurting, businesses that were hurting, buying the meals from them, bringing those to hospitals just to say thank you. And that was a cool little project that we did. My daughter, who's home from college, and if any parents are listening, whose kids are home from college, you know that they know everything, and you know nothing now that they're in college. Although I said to her, hey, if you know everything, why don't you take over the bills and pay for your phone and like take care of that stuff? If you're so much of an adult, then you're on your own. And so it's a little bit of a transition period, but it's been good.
Jay, I'm laughing because I've got a son home from college as well, so I know exactly what you're talking about. In fact, right. You know, what you and the family are doing is great. The initial goal was $10,000, but you've blown right by that. You've gone by $20,000 as well. So what kind of emotions were you feeling when you were able to buy meals from local businesses to help them stay afloat and then deliver the food to the hospitals? And on top of that, you've got the whole family involved.
Well, I knew that it would help the restaurants. That was my main reason for doing it. I saw so many people who were hurting. The first restaurant we went to was in Scottsdale, and it was a restaurant. And I actually put it out on Twitter. I said, hey, if you're hurting, you're a restaurant, reach out to me because I want to come buy meals from you. And a general manager reached out to me. I went up there, and we bought 300 meals, and they were thrilled. Like, everybody there working was thrilled to have the orders. They had just opened in December. You know, you can imagine putting all that money, opening a restaurant, you open in December, and then 2 months later, everything shut down. Nobody even knows who you are, so they're not going to order from you, so you're just crushed. And to be able to just kind of go in and say thank you, to be able to go in and help a restaurant, and then the response from the doctors and nurses was fabulous, and that really surprised me. When you had doctors come down who've been working in the ER all day and tell you, hey, this has an impact, like it lifts the spirits of everybody here. You know, that made it worthwhile.
We're talking to Jay Feely. Jay, one more thing. You tweeted yesterday that your great-grandmother had taught you to play cribbage back in the day when you were just five. I bring this up because my father-in-law, who passed away not long ago, was huge on cribbage. Man made his own board, brought it with him everywhere, taught the grandkids. What is it about cribbage, of all things, that got you hooked?
Well, you know, it's kind of an old person's game. But I loved it. I loved going to the lake and playing with her, and she was no holds barred. Like, she was going to beat you. She was going to skunk you if she could, and you had to earn it. And I love to do that with my kids. You know, all the games we play, you know, I'm going to make them earn it if they beat me. And my family's been a card playing family. Like, my grandfather learned how to play hearts when he was in the war, and riding on the trains, and he taught his whole family. And we have a family reunion every summer. We play hearts. And you get points for where you finish every night. I mean, we're a competitive family now, Jim. When we have a tennis tournament, which we do every year, it's a couples tennis tournament. You get seeded, you know, and first seed goes with the last seed. There's a traveling trophy for the family every year. So whether it's cribbage or hearts or tennis, we like to compete.
Yeah, I'm not surprised hearing this at all. Jay Feely is joining us. To that point, your son Jace is an elite kicking prospect at Gilbert Christian. What's it been like then to watch him grow as an athlete?
It's been fun. You know, it's so much harder as a father sitting on the sidelines than it is out there playing. When you have control, you have no control on the sidelines. And I wasn't sure that, you know, I wanted him to get into kicking. And he's a really good golfer. He's just a great athlete, and he wanted to kick. And as a freshman, he goes out in his second game, and he's got like a 50-yard field goal, and he knocks it through. And I'm like, oh, okay, this kid's got it. You know, there's a lot of people can go out and make field goals. Not a lot can go out and do it under the pressure. So when I've seen him come through in those clutch situations and play better in those situations, that's when you say, okay, he's got something inside of him that you can't teach. And it's just fun to watch. You know, he's bigger than I am. He's stronger than I am. He hits the ball further. He kicks it further. So it'll be fun to see where he goes.
He knows everything. Even if he's not in college yet, he knows everything because they all do.
Absolutely.
Jay Feely joining us. Now, Jay, you've known Tom Brady for a long time now. What was your reaction when it became official that he was going to leave New England and head to Tampa Bay?
Jim, I had an inkling he was going to leave New England. This was going to be his last year this past year. And, you know, my feeling is He's accomplished everything he could accomplish. He doesn't owe the Patriots organization or Bill Belichick or Robert Kraft or anybody, any of the fans. He doesn't owe them anything. He's given them everything he had. And if he wanted to leave and he wanted to try it somewhere else and he wanted to go find a little more enjoyment, then that was his right. He's earned that right. He was a free agent. And I was a little surprised he ended up in Tampa, you know, but I understand it with his family situation and wanted to be close to his son. And I think it's a good match with Bruce Arians. I really do. He's got better weapons there, Jim, than he's ever had in his career. Maybe the only other time he had receivers like that was when he was in New England with Randy Moss and Wes Welker in 2007 when they went undefeated. But he's got Gronk as well, and he's got other weapons on that offense. So they're going to be really good. Bruce is aggressive. He's down the field. He wants to have fun. It's a totally different dynamic than he had in New England. In New England, for 20 years, Bill Belichick used Tom Brady as example and would crush Tom in meetings, you know, and point out every flaw. And people knew, well, if he does that to Tom Brady, what's he going to do to me? And so use that to scare everyone else. Bruce is the exact opposite. He will support his quarterback unequivocally. You know, when I was in Arizona with Carson Palmer's first year, he kind of struggled that first half of the season understanding Bruce's offense. He had Bruce's complete support. And Tom Brady will have that unequivocally. He'll have Bruce in his corner. He'll never say a bad word about him. So it's going to be a different experience, and I'm pretty excited to see how it goes.
Me too. Jay Feely joining us. So in terms of his mindset, Jay, like, do you think that maybe Brady's going there because he wants to have a little bit of fun, he wants to enjoy himself, or do you think he's got like this kind of crazy rocket fuel and wild chip on his shoulder and he's on a mission still?
I don't think it's he does always have a chip on his shoulder, always. And anytime people doubt him and question him, he uses that as fuel and as motivation. And he'll certainly do that this year in Tampa. I don't think he has that chip, like, I need to prove myself outside of Belichick. That I don't believe exists. But I do think he wants to enjoy himself. At this point, when he's won 6 Super Bowls and he's accomplished as much as he has, he's considered the best of all time. If you're going to keep playing after 40, why not go somewhere where you're going to enjoy it every day? I think that's the genesis of the change.
Jay Feely joining us. Now, Jay, I know you've been watching The Last Dance as a competitor, as a strong competitor. What kind of thoughts do you have as you watch that series?
I just love it. I love everything about it. I love everything that Jordan did, the way he held guys accountable, the way he challenged them. You know, you mentioned, you know, coaching girls soccer at the beginning, coaching soccer, you know, with these high school girls, you try to hold them accountable. You try to push them like that. But, you know, sometimes girls are a little different than guys. You know, you're pushing them. One practice this year, I look over, I got like 3 girls crying, and I haven't even got on anybody in practice. I told our captains, I said, hey, go get a drink. You guys hug it out, get all the crying out, and then we'll start practice again. And I look over there 2 minutes later, and sure enough, every girl is over there crying. They're all hugging and crying, and I just kind of laughed to myself. I told our assistant coach, I said, we can't practice tomorrow on the field. We got to do something to build this team camaraderie. And girls are kind of like that. Now, I mean, a guy's locker room in a professional sport, it's a tough place. And you're going to have guys challenge you, and you're going to have guys that push against the system and don't listen to the coach. And when you have your best player, the best player in the world, who's the toughest on everybody, like Michael Jordan and Tom Brady, that's how you win, and that's how you succeed. That's why I love it so much.
All right, Jay, you're hosting Chad Tough Live, Tougher Together Sunday from 7 to 9 Eastern. People who know the Michigan program know about Chad and Chad Tough. For those who do not know, who was Chad?
Chad is the legendary coach Lloyd Carr. It's his grandson. Jason Carr and Tammy Carr was their son, and he got DIPG, which is a rare pediatric brain cancer, and passed away from that, unfortunately. And as soon as he got it, Tammy and Jason started this foundation to try and get money to do research to find a cure, because there's no cure. When you get it, it's a life sentence. And unfortunately, one of my other teammates at Michigan, Jeff Delverne, his son Colt, got it and passed away as well. So it's a foundation that is near and dear to all Michigan people, and they continue to fight to find a cure. And even though we're going through this, Jim, like this coronavirus right now, the families that are dealing with DIPG, they have to deal with that every day. It doesn't stop. And they know that their child faces a death sentence, and you're trying to find something. You're trying to find a cure. You know, and that's why we're doing this. And so it's going to be a fun event. We're going to have Jason and Tammy will be on there. Lloyd Carr will be telling stories with me. John Beilein, the former Michigan basketball coach, will be on there. Chase Winovich from the Patriots. Dickie V will be on there telling stories. He'll be fired up. Mitch Album, the author. Mitch adopted a girl from Haiti, Chica. She ended up having DIPG and passing away from it as well. And so, you know, most of the people on have a vested interest in trying to help this foundation and trying. They've raised over $6 million, which is just phenomenal for research. And it'll be a fun event, and it'll be a tearjerker as well. We'll have some families on that'll be talking about their children and what they're going through and what this disease does, and some of the doctors as well. So hopefully I can keep it together and bring us through it, but hopefully we have some fun and raise a lot of money as well.
You bet. Jay Fueling, my guest, really quickly. The original plan was for this to be a gala in Ann Arbor on Sunday, but that's not possible this year. So it's going to be an online event. Jay, really quickly, if people want more information on Chad Tough and the event, where should they go to get it?
Thanks, Jim. ChadTough.org. And you can click on the live button on Sunday, 7 to 9, right before you watch the last couple episodes of The Last Dance. You can get out and get your Michigan fix and listen to everybody and support this really worthy organization.
Once again, ChadTough.org. That's ChadTough.org. A 14-year vet, national champion at Michigan, and, of course, a college and NFL analyst for CBS Sports. Jay, I hope we can get together and do it in person soon. Great to have you on the show. Stay safe. And I know we'll talk again no matter what.
Thanks, Jim. Good to talk to you, buddy.
You too. Jay, be good. Jay Feely joining us. All right, then. That's the end of a good first hour. Love it. Jay Feely comes in. We give away a golden ticket. It goes to Toronto. I talked about UFC fight night last night. Wild night in Jacksonville. And I've got a second half of that take still ahead. Bud Black next hour. Josh Jones in hour number three. A recap of Bill Wennington, who came up big on Ep 129 of the Jim Rohn podcast. And phone lines are filling up. One line open, 1-800-636-8686. Stay tuned.